Hello and welcome back to Conversations with Claire. We actually left that intro out for the past couple of weeks by accident, and she's back, baby. So today my guest is Ryan Weckenman.
Claire, thank you so much for having me, and great job saying my last name. Sometimes people get that off. You hit it perfect.
Really?
Perfect.
Ooh, okay. Well, I pretend that I hadn't heard it before, but I think I've heard it just a time or two. So real quick, we met because he is one of the three pastors at the church that I go to. Mm-hmm. Ever since I moved here, I don't have to tell you that here now, but I've been coming there for like a year and a half now.
Yes.
Very shortly after moving to Austin, It was the first recommendation that I was given. And it was the first time in my adult life that I was open to the idea of going to church.
So cool.
Because I had been praying every day for like a year and a half. Mm-hmm. Only because I was forced to. And the first sermon was about prayer. Wow. So that's cool.
That's awesome. Thanks for sharing that story. Those are the stories for me. Like when we started the church, it was always, we want to create a safe space for people to experience God and understand what God thinks about us and how God feels about us. And that is not the easiest thing to do. And so every time I hear a story like that, I'm just reminded that it really does work. And so, thank you for being a part of the church.
Yeah. And you can't fabricate that. There's all these other topics. I've been around for a while. So you guys talk about a lot of different things. Mm-hmm. And so the idea that that was the intro point, because of course there was a lot of, I have names for things now, thanks to you guys, like church hurt and things like that was very real for me. Mm-hmm. And so it was just cool because I feel safe to invite people to this place and I'm not worried that they're going to have a weird experience. And I think the tagline that you guys say that I love that makes me jive best with like feeling very blessed to have access to it is the whole imperfect people pursuing a perfect God. Like that works for me.
Yes. So and it's just true. Thank you. And every time I say it, I'm in the back of my mind, I'm like, yeah, it's a catchy saying, it's great wordplay, but more than that, it's just true.
Right.
It's just, we are all, including myself, imperfect people trying to figure out this perfect God together. Mm-hmm. And it's actually kind of the point of the whole thing, is that for my worldview, it's, we were never going to be able to get it perfect enough on our own. Mm-hmm. And yet God in his love literally stepped out of heaven for us and laid down his life that we can go free. So we can be imperfect people pursuing a perfect God for the rest of our lives.
Yep. Yeah. And the imperfect people, it makes me think of some quote that I'll surely butcher that was just to the effect of,
I butcher, you know, every quote ever.
That's okay. You're reinventing it or something.
Yeah. I'm making it better.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh gosh. That reminds me. I'm a part of a group where we use a specific book often. And one of the girls that I work with, she's like, so you just say it all, but in your own words. And I'm like, odds are those aren't mine. No, I don't even know what you're talking about, but I probably got them somewhere. Yeah.
Yeah. That sounds about right. I remember talking to you like a year ago in the lobby. And you said, you dropped a line that has stuck with me. You said, little by little, a little becomes a lot. Mm. And I was right in the middle of like finishing the book. And I thought, that's what I'm trying to say. Yeah. And I remember saying, thank you. And then you said, oh, I don't think that was me that came up with that.
I said,
you should just take the credit for it because it's true. Little by little, a little becomes a lot. I feel like I cut you off. You were talking about some quote.
No, I don't even know. There wasn't a specific one that does also then make me think of my friend Cody. Are you familiar with Cody Sanchez?
Cody Sanchez. I've heard that name before. Tell me about
Cody.
She's
very popular on the internet. She's local here. Mm-hmm. And she was actually my first training client, which was just kind of like a while. She's in the business, finance, small business owner world. Very successful portfolio of small businesses as well as now media company. She's a stud.
Yep.
And she's very outside of the realm of anything I know anything about. So it's kind of cool that I got her because I'm like, I would never be looking at that. And I'm still kind of a buffoon in business.
Those people are the best.
Yes.
Like, I need you to explain this to me like I'm in fourth grade.
And
please.
What I will say about her is especially the way that she's planting seeds with me right now. I didn't come from a financially savvy background. And that is very evident in the current pile of debt that I'm clawing my way out of. Mm. And what I see in all of my exposure to her since meeting her when I moved here is like, I haven't really had the capacity so far to use all the tools she talks about, but I hear her. And it's not for nothing. And so I think that's really cool. But one of the quotes, because she's constantly posting a ton of content and so on. And she's like, yeah, steal my homework and I'm going to steal theirs. So like it's yeah. the term she's using is steal. But ultimately, like, yes, regurgitate something useful.
Yeah, we are all just like throwing the ball back and forth. Mm-hmm. We're all like a team trying to figure all this out
together. The bozos on the bus.
Oh, my goodness. We are all bozos on the same bus. Yeah. That is... we are imperfect people pursuing a perfect God. Mm-hmm. For me, I was a psychology major in college.
This doesn't surprise me.
And yeah, right.
No.
So Claire, how does that make you feel that doesn't surprise you? And my favorite teacher, this is the last class I had my senior year. We sit down and her opening line, like first lecture was, we're all bozos on the same bus. So let's figure this out. And I thought, that's what I'm like trying to say. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, we are all bozos on the same bus.
Mm-hmm. Which, okay, so speaking of the bus, I'm going to go ahead and round out my intro for you. And that is one. Okay, so additionally, yes, you are the pastor, one of three, which I think is also such a fun vibe that we get these different experiences. Like, yeah. So Muddy walks on stage and I'm like, okay, this is the experience we're getting today. And that's what I cool. mean by that is like, you got your brother who's going to like take mm-hmm. the entire sermon to do like a Nemo reference and it's yeah. wonderful.
Yeah, brilliant.
And then like each individual has such a different perspective mm-hmm. and I love it. So,
yeah, well, thank you.
Yes. And thank you guys for being creative and doing that. I don't know if you had like seen that modeled somewhere or what.
Honestly, it's just we love each other so much that we wanted to hang out more together. Yeah. And writing sermons is so much work that I'm like, we need a team.
We gotta
do this together.
I cannot. What y'all do is it's incredible. Yeah. Much and less deliver five of them in the course of 24 hours.
Yeah, yeah, it's a lot. Yeah. But and I mean, we could dive into the whole. Like we're all very different, you know, and so we kind of bring a different element to it, an angle to it and all that. So there's like strategic parts of it. But at the end of the day, it's just we love each other and we love to talk about the Bible and it works better. We can go further together. Mm-hmm. And that's what I've been learning in life.
Mm-hmm. That's very wise.
Yeah.
But like seriously. Okay. So you are also the co-host of Afterthoughts Podcast. Yeah. Which is a relatively new mm-hmm. thing, but y'all do that on what, Mondays perhaps?
So on midweek, we have the sermon, and then what always happens is the three of us will sit down to work on a sermon, and inevitably we'll go, this could be a 2-hour long thing, mm-hmm. but we have to get it down to 30 minutes, sometimes 40, every once in a while 50.
Mm-hmm.
But there's so much more content that we want to get into, and so we thought, let's create a midweek podcast where we can just dive deeper
yep.
and kind of get different perspectives, bring some people on, hear some different points of view and all of that. So the Afterthoughts podcast has been a lot of fun. And it honestly has turned into like the hour that the three of us get to hang out.
Mm-hmm.
And those are always the best podcasts. So.
I think it's a fun one to, I can only imagine, because you got to like condense the bangers, you know, you gotta get a hold of us and hold us as best as you can. And your
attention spans are so short.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
It's wild. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're a content creator, you know, like everything has to, the cuts have to be fast, like in on social media and all that, which is something I'm awful at. But for me, my craft is like sermons from mm-hmm. the stage, and I'll be like
full
writing
blown books.
What's that?
Full blown books.
Mm-hmm. I know. But I'll be writing stuff and I'll think like, that's so good. But how, you know, it's a 2-minute long story. How are we going to hold their attention?
Mm-hmm.
And I find myself just wishing attention spans were longer, which brings me to my main point, Claire. And that's that people need to be reading more, because the reason attention spans are going down, I'm convinced, is because we've moved away from books
yeah.
and we've gone digital on everything. And so now it's like next thing, next thing, next thing. And if we
yeah.
could just get back to the art of reading good books.
Uh-huh.
It would change everything.
Love that. I only started reading books less than 3 years ago. It was like shortly after getting sober and launching into my first version of 75 Hard, which I've done a bunch of times now. And that made me read books, right?
Yes.
And now, of
course,
because
it's like 10 pages a day or something.
It's a simple, approachable, you can do that
yeah.
thing. And
nice.
That's what I've held on to ever since. And it's so cool. I like to think of book reading like treasure hunting. Of just like, yeah, you're going to read a decent amount of stuff that's not going to be like, whoa, you know, but then you're going to get to that page that has that thing that you really, really like resonated with. And it was so worth it. And then the gratification, no shock there, is so much greater because you worked for it. is how I feel.
Totally. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really well said. It's it is more work to read than mm-hmm. it is to let Hollywood create our imaginations for us. Mm-hmm. But I'm just convinced that it's important. I don't mean to turn this into like a soapbox about people reading.
No, it's okay. I actually said on like two episodes ago that we go down rabbit holes a lot. And so I was like, I need rabbit ear props. And so I literally have rabbit ear props. So if at any point, we don't have to put them on right now, but I'm just saying.
Oh, we're getting there.
We can put those on at some point if we need to. I'm here for the props, okay? I know.
Well done. I love it.
Yeah, they just came in.
Yep.
Okay, so the last thing that I will say for your intro is that you are now the author of a book that just came out.
Yes.
And it is called Single Today.
Single Today, now available. I've been working on it for the last 4 years, and I believe in it so much, and it means so much, and it's something that I've been doing in a very like private way for mm-hmm. 4 years, and now it is the opposite of that. Mm-hmm. And so I'm learning to embrace the vulnerability and the authenticity it requires to just talk about it. Yeah. And so yeah, thanks for letting me come on and talk and hang out and be a part of the conversation, because I'm just so proud of it. I think it's a needed, timely book for our world today.
I have not yet read it because it just came out.
Right.
I will be reading it. And I did have some friends pre-order it as well. So I'm super excited to like get feedback from friends who are currently single as well as just, I want to read it because you love people who are single, even if you're not, which is a reason for me to be super interested in it. And I just like you as a human. And I've had enough conversations with you and heard you speak enough that I'm like, I like what the dude has to say. I like books. Well, I'll probably enjoy both.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's a book for everybody, mm-hmm. whether you're single, dating, engaged, or married. Really what the message is that I'm trying to get across is there is a sweet invitation to be present today. Mm-hmm. And that is so hard to do because of shame from yesterday, regret from yesterday, overthinking yesterday, bitterness from yesterday, grudges from yesterday, and worry about the future and anxiety about what's to come and all of those thoughts about the future. And yet Jesus said things like don't worry about tomorrow, as he called people to live on purpose today. And so for me, it's my best attempt to help people heal from yesterday mm-hmm. and surrender tomorrow and be present right where they're at today. Mm-hmm. Singleness just happened to be like the Trojan horse that I used to get into that conversation, if that makes sense.
Yeah. You gave a sermon a few Sundays ago that you kind of walked through at least, what was it? Just like some context of probably just chapter one. Like you just kind of scratched the surface with it.
Yeah.
And what stood out to me, I have not read your book, but I heard what you said there and a lot of what you were saying about the yesterday stuff, it was all focused on the yesterday stuff, mm-hmm. the shame, the regret, the bitterness, all of that. And thankfully, 3 years ago, I got involved in recovery and they made me do that work. Yeah. And then they made me keep doing that work. Yeah. And so the whole time I was thrilled to hear you saying it. Mm-hmm. Because that's a recovery group, right? That's a 12-step group.
Totally.
And so we want these tools to be accessible for everyone. And like, mm-hmm. I don't, you know, for me, that's where I got them. And it's just like, I did celebrate 3 years last Friday. And I even said,
congratulations.
Thank you.
3 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Let's go, Claire.
It's cool. Like I told you earlier, it's like, it's such a long time and it's also like such a short period of time.
Yeah.
And it's very exciting to think that it's only 3 years and I hopefully have so much runway ahead of me to just like build and build and build that thing.
You do.
And that gets me hyped. And what I said last night in the celebration of it was just like, this is a new operating system for me. Mm. You know, what the operating system I had for the 15 years prior was self-will, selfishness. You know, it was just the Claire show. And that led me places that I was not having a good time. And so to be given a new operating system of, hey, now you're going to do things this way. It was cool. So I'm excited to read more of that. And what I heard there in that short speech about it was so much of the work that is done in that program of like, hey, we need to actually take a look back. We do actually need to go ahead and do that forgiveness thing. And here's why, you know,
I think those who have gone through the recovery journey in a lot of ways are like the prophets of the modern day, teaching us how to be present today. Mm-hmm. Because of all the work that goes into it. And it's not easy. Mm-hmm. Especially the working through like the hard parts and the painful parts, mm-hmm. and the forgiveness stuff. Mm-hmm. And what's the step? Is it step four? Mm-hmm. We don't have to get all yes, into it.
You're right.
But every time I'll meet with somebody like the day before they're like going into that, and they'll always be like nervous and anxious, but then you see them the next week and it's like they're 10 pounds lighter. Mm-hmm. You can just see it in their face. Like, mm-hmm. their eyes are brighter. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like they've just gotten rid of so much of the stuff from yesterday. And so, yeah, I feel like I take a lot from, we were talking before, I want to read I want to go through the whole thing. Yeah. Like, what a cool, at the end of the day, opportunity and invitation to realize that today,
right?
Like, all the stuff happened in the past. We're all imperfect people. Mm-hmm. We're all bozos on the same bus. Mm-hmm. But today, we're alive today, and you have breath in your lungs today. Mm-hmm. And so, for me, the interesting question is, if I actually believe that there's a creator who created me, and I still have breath in my lungs, that means that this breath right now is a gift from that God, which means God's not done with me, which means there's people in my life to love and encourage today. And so I used to spend so much of my time replaying the past, and now it's just kind of not that interesting to me anymore. I'm more interested in what God has for me today. And yeah, that's where I try to head in the book.
So how did you, what got you to that point? Like, in your own experience, because obviously this is single today, so it's like targeted towards singleness, and now we can better understand it's really truly presence in today, which also then is as much as, and I love that I know that this will resonate, you know, but like, you've done all this work to be present, and your brain is still a human one, and so it still goes to the past all the time and the future all the time, and being present, even
nope,
if it's something.
Not me. I wrote the book, Claire. It's out now. I'm right, now perfect.
Right. I am present all of the time. What is the future? All we have is now.
So, I don't even know what time it is. I am just here.
It's man, I wish it was 4:44. It's been 4:44 a lot lately, so much that I'm like, should I rename the podcast? It's 4:44 somewhere. Anyway, because you know, there's like that. It's 5 o'clock somewhere,
yeah.
And
4:44
would be way more on brand for me.
To it.
I don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah, yeah.
We can talk. Nobody steal that. Okay.
It's 4:44.
I don't own it
somewhere.
That's clever, right? I'm sure I got that from somebody else too. Anyway, okay. So, singleness.
Yeah.
Why was that your foundation for this thing? And mm-hmm. yeah, how's that going?
Yeah, so I have been single my entire life. And I've been a single pastor for the last 10 years.
How old are you
just
now?
Just over 10 years. 34.
34 years single.
Mm-hmm.
Bro, that's wild.
Yeah.
People don't do that.
Yeah. Yeah, some people, it's a lot longer than a lot. Not nearly as long as others. And for me, I have just always felt very confident and secure independently. I've always just loved being by myself and felt very, felt like alive and thriving on my own. But what's interesting is being a single pastor, especially like in this stream of Christianity, in some streams it's completely celebrated, but in this stream of Christianity, it's like, hey, you don't do that. Like you should be getting married in like your early 20s or whatever.
Yeah. It's like a flaw.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Like and a bug
so,
in the system.
Always came with a lot of questions of like, but what's the deal? You know, like, and then you have person after person, well-meaning people in the lobby trying to set you up with their daughter or their niece or their neighbor or their coworker or whoever it is. And so along the way, I was picking up on this narrative that there's something wrong with me. Mm-hmm. And the book begins with that question. Is there something wrong with me? I'm sitting in a parking lot on a Sunday night. And the parking lot is empty. My car is in park. This is about 10 years ago. I feel completely numb and completely like stagnant. Mm-hmm. And I don't even know how to start. Like, I can't put my car in drive to go home. But I don't even know where to begin processing how I'm feeling. Mm-hmm. If I've just for several years, like pushed it all down, like pushed yesterday into this secret compartment in my heart somewhere, and it was now just keeping me feeling like nothing, like no emotion, can't cry, wanted to cry, can't cry, mm-hmm. you know, wanted to laugh, can't laugh. every day was becoming like a less exciting rerun of the day before, where it was like someone was turning down like the saturation of the world, and it was slowly moving from like color to black and white. And
This just makes me think of the you cannot selectively numb. And so if we're trying to numb out the bad, we accidentally numb out the good. And I don't know.
Go on that.
Yeah, I just say don't. More. I don't know, because my perspective of coming to understand those things is so different than your own. But I have curiosities about even the, is something wrong with me? Do you ever, like, do you think that you ever thought that something was wrong with you? Or do you think you only thought that because that was fed to you by other mm-hmm. humans? Mm-hmm. Like,
Yeah. And the feeling like there's so much pressure on that question. Mm-hmm. It's like a very weighty question that it was making me go like, I don't know, and I can't figure this out. And so numb. Right? Let's not even go there.
How did you numb?
For me, I had multiple drugs of choice, as we all do. It was a lot of isolation being the biggest one, where I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but knowing like, hey, I should be with people right now. Like, community is good. Talking about stuff is good.
Sure.
It's a lot safer for me to just lock it all up mm-hmm. and throw away the key and never tell anybody that I'm struggling or feeling numb or anything. And so a lot of like saying no to every invitation to come out and just wanting to like be by myself and spend a lot of time, which first off, I'm an introvert.
Yeah.
I love spending time by myself.
Yeah, but you see the value in stepping outside of that anyway.
I don't get a pass on community just because I'm an introvert. I spend a lot of time by myself, mm-hmm. but I don't get to just completely... Mm-hmm. And I was getting really good at...
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And having like... I've always been so blessed with community and good people in my life, like asking me questions. Mm-hmm. I had just gotten really good at going, I'm fine. You know what I mean? Like the most inauthentic yeah. I'm fine ever.
Yeah.
And there's a great line in the book. I don't care. One of the reframes that comes up over and over is I don't care. I don't care. I think that means I care. And learning how to identify that oftentimes I go, oh, that thing happened, but I don't care about that. I don't care about it. Realizing when I say that, it usually means those are the things that I care about the most,
mm-hmm.
Which means I probably need to face that. And I probably need to let myself feel that.
Mm-hmm.
And God's probably ready to heal it. I just need to be brave enough to give it a name mm-hmm. and give it some space and actually feel it. And so the major way that I numbed was just turning all of it off and trying to isolate myself completely and kind of lock like the feeling part of my soul away mm-hmm. in the corner. Mm-hmm. And for me, no, sorry, go.
I just wonder if part of that is also just like modern day masculinity too, you know, like it's almost like our society is like, yeah, yeah, good on you. Shut up.
Yeah.
Don't feel stuff.
Yeah. Like I've got a system for that.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yeah.
Which is great to have a system for things and to think linear about that stuff and whatever. But especially like as a leader in the church, there is this narrative that it was a self-imposed narrative that I need to have it all together. So I need to be fine.
Oh my gosh.
And you know what's wild is like all of the pastors that I looked up to were saying the exact opposite.
Mm-hmm.
Like Craig Groeschel always says like someone would rather follow someone that's real than mm-hmm. someone who's got it all together. I just butchered your quote, Craig. You said it better than me, but you get it. And I would hear that and I would genuinely go, yes, amen.
Yep.
Preach, Craig.
Yep.
And then I'd be like, but I'm fine. Right? Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't be good at like, okay, let me give you an example. I was at a guy's group this morning. They're reading through Single Today. And so I just went to hang with them. And mm-hmm. and I asked them, I said, okay, naming our emotions, what's a difficult emotion for you to name? And the question came back around to me and it clicked for me. One of the ones that's always been very difficult for me to say is, I feel embarrassed. So, I'll have a moment in a sermon that doesn't go well. I'll stutter through it or I'll say it wrong or whatever. It's very hard for me to like go to Doug and say, hey, even though he's like the safest place in the world for me, mm-hmm. hey, I said that thing in the sermon right there and I feel really embarrassed. It didn't come out the right way. Mm-hmm. Or I was driving down the highway and I lost my temper and I feel very embarrassed. I've trained myself to go, you're not allowed to feel embarrassed. You have to just be okay. Mm-hmm. You have to be this like steady person that's always okay. And so you can see how that would happen where like I'm going through all these things that are embarrassing, but I feel like I can't talk about them. So instead I just,
I'm okay.
I push it down. And so I think a lot of it was a whole culmination of a lot of things, but a lot of it was always feeling like I had to pretend like I was okay mm-hmm. so that I could be like a safe space for other people. Cause that's what like a good pastor is supposed to be, you know? Mm-hmm. And,
I love it because it's almost like this cape got put on your back.
Yeah.
And then you thought, okay, now it's my responsibility to be this person. Cause I want to be this person for others. This just makes me think so much. One, I'm curious, like what is the pain that made you be willing to say something different? Because there probably was some significant moment of, all right, enough of this. Yeah. But another thought that I have is I wonder how many of those people that you were being supportive for could feel, because for me, I feel people, you know, and my tool against somebody like you, cause I know you and not that I can, I'm not saying it always works, but I am saying that anytime that somebody says I'm fine or I'm good.
Yeah.
Now it's my turn and I'm going to tell you some weird shit. And then all of a sudden now you can be human, mm-hmm. you know? And like it works mm-hmm. every time. And mm-hmm. so I've got close friends of mine mm-hmm. that understand conceptually that and still yet struggle. We have conversations regularly where they still struggle at this time in their journeys. They're doing far better than they were before, even taking a look at it, right? But the conversations about like them isolating and them just, I'm good, just this default response. And then they're struggling to connect. And they at least have the awareness now that they are supposed to do the other, but there's still that like the glitch, you know, I don't know. And so, I just eat it up almost too much that I'm just like, it's so often people are like, why am I telling you my life story? And I'm like, because I pushed the right buttons. Cause boom, you know, but also like, I also just have like the more that I've been, and it's probably honestly like externally I've been, it's been confirmed for me time and time again that that was a worthwhile endeavor. So that's probably why I lean so heavy there and at least try to my best of my ability, understanding I'm a delusional person and there's all sorts of stuff I don't know what's going on, but what I can figure out is going on. Like I can still have gratitude. I can still mm-hmm. be an overall optimistic person and still be struggling. I can mm-hmm. do both. Mm-hmm. And so the more that I can share a little bit of that, then it's mm-hmm. like, okay, there goes the egg.
That's it. That's so good.
So what cracked you?
You know, what's funny is I'm realizing this in real time as you're saying that writing has always been an extraordinary gift for me because it is a private thing that then becomes public. Mm-hmm. So what it does is it creates a really safe space for me to work this stuff out. So if you're listening, watching this, you've picked this up by now. I'm an overthinker. So I live in my head and it's a beautiful way that I believe God made me, but it means I have to like really sift through my thoughts before I feel comfortable sharing them. Like my friends who can just talk openly and authentically about exactly what's going, like, I feel like it's a superpower. Mm-hmm. I feel like they're like doing a magic trick in front of me, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. Cause I'm like, I had to sit in a coffee shop for 4 years to like work through those thoughts before I was ready to say it. Mm-hmm. But if you resonate with that, I feel you. And, I have just learned, but this is how I'm created. And mm-hmm. so like, what a cool avenue for me to do this. And so I think that's one of the reasons I love to write so much mm-hmm. is, I got to a point I remember the exact coffee shop I was sitting in when I was writing chapter 11, it's called Single, Not Alone. And I was telling a story about, Doug and Ethan and I and a few other people have a group, like a community group we've been meeting for over a decade.
Oh, that's cool.
And once a year we get together and we were in Hilton Head. And
is it Bro City?
Is it what?
Is it a bunch of bros?
Yeah.
Okay, I love that for y'all. Yeah. That makes me happy.
Yeah, it's so good. Okay, it's cool. The best.
Okay.
But we're in Hilton Head this year. This is a few years ago, and I'm sitting doing my like check-in and I'm telling them about how I feel about my singleness and how like they're all married and have kids and stuff at this point.
What were you telling them about how you felt about it at that time?
So I start telling them, hey, I feel kind of strange about this. Like, okay. I feel like there's something wrong with me. Right. And I feel like I'm like missing something. I feel like there's like this inside joke that everybody else is in on and I'm not there. And it makes me feel like I'm falling behind. It makes me feel like I'm weird. It makes me feel like you guys aren't going to want me in this group. And all it was met with was them just smiling.
We love you.
And we love you. Mm-hmm. And this idea that you can actually be fully known and still truly loved. Because it's usually one or the other, right? There's people that'll say they love you, but they usually don't fully know you. Mm-hmm. And then there's times where you share your story, which you do so well, and people are like, yeah, okay, I know like you're fully known, but whatever. But to actually have somebody see you, know you fully, and still go, yeah, we're good, man. You're the single guy. It's awesome. You have something to bring to the table. I'm sitting there going, this is what I needed. Mm-hmm. I needed community. I needed people around me to remind me there's not something wrong with me. Mm-hmm. Maybe life's less about being right or being wrong and more about being together in community. Mm-hmm. That was the thing that broke. So now I'm sitting in the coffee shop actually writing. It was a really cool moment. I'm crying and all that. Mm-hmm. But I'm sitting in the coffee shop working on that in a safe, you know, in my comfort zone. Mm-hmm. And I start crying all over again where I realize like everything is starting to click for me. Mm-hmm. That, hey, whether you are single, dating, engaged, or married, there you have an opportunity to live a full, abundant life today, right where you're at. Mm-hmm. And whatever society tells us, blah, 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 all these different narratives for us, everybody's always going to have opinions about you should be at this point, by this point in your life, and all of these timelines, and am I running out of time? Am I falling behind? Is there like a shot clock up in the sky that's running out? And like all of those mind games that we play at some level are like, okay, they're real. Beneath all of them, though, is a God who sees you and goes, I see you, I love you, I'm with you, I knit you together in your mother's womb. I know you more than you know yourself, and I still love you. So realizing that's true about God, and then realizing that's true about other people, mm-hmm. that I have community in my life, like unlocked this box for me. And that's really around the time I started talking about singleness publicly and trying to really flip the script on how we view singleness. It took me getting to that point of realizing that there's nothing wrong with me. It's actually just like how I'm wired and so great. Let's rock and roll with it.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It does. And it, for some reason it pulls me too, just that my perspective, it's so interesting that like, so you've actually been single, chosen not to be in romantic partnerships, but how many individuals have spent, like, I don't think I know a human that wouldn't raise their hand if speaking honestly about even in relationship at different times, maybe not right this moment, hopefully not, but if they're in relationship that they feel alone, you know? So like how many of us still, regardless of external relationship status, mm-hmm. still heavily identify with this whole, it's just me out here, you know?
Yeah. Loneliness is real. It's an epidemic.
Yeah.
And to your point, it's for everybody,
yeah.
Single, dating, engaged, and married. In fact, I've had so many people reach out to me going like, hey, thank you. I've been married for 5 years. I needed to read this book.
Yeah.
'Cause what I'm talking about is the truth beneath like your relationship status, mm-hmm. is this truth that you're actually never alone, mm-hmm. that God is Emmanuel, mm-hmm. God with us. Mm-hmm. And so right now, right in this moment, wherever you're watching this, wherever you're listening to this, God is with you. He's closer than the very breath that you're breathing. And so the truth is you're actually never alone. Now, I know that's like easier to say that than to actually believe it, but that doesn't mean it's not true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think about a lot that it required a very high dose of pain and desperation for me to finally be open to, okay, you say you humans are telling me over there that seem to have a better quality of life than me, that I need a God. And like, I'd really like it if you'd not do that. Yeah. Like I tell this story often. It just, I came in those rooms and that word started coming up and my skin was just like, I mean, I was like a cat, like that was just like, Like, stop doing that. That's not what I'm here for. But that little piece there of, I don't like the way things are going so much that I'm going to be open to something different. This actually then, I have a question, and I love this because I really have no idea if you're going to even know what I'm talking about or not. Like, yeah, you may know a ton about it and you may have never heard of it, and I have no idea where we're going to land. So I recently this week discovered this new series that's available on YouTube that, and I have no idea what you're going to, even if you do know about this, I don't know what you're going to think. So this is great. Jordan Peterson, you know who he is.
Of course. Yes.
Exodus. Have you heard of it?
Mm-hmm.
Not just the book in the Bible, but his specific. Yeah, so I'm a pastor, sweetie. Like,
check.
I've been around the Bible for a bit. Uh-huh. Where's she going?
Yeah. Peterson did a thing on Exodus.
Yes. So okay. Are you familiar?
I haven't watched it.
But you've heard of it.
I've watched some of his Bible stuff. Haven't watched you the Exodus.
Yep, okay.
Specifically.
So they put it out on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And it's my understanding, I'm through 2 of the 8 chapters or whatever they're calling them, episodes, I believe. And so far, those have been 2 hours at length. It's him and a bunch of individuals that are scholars that are coming from all of these different perspectives, and they're dissecting this singular book in the Bible and at a round table. And so I believe this is like 16 hours of conversation. And as of right now, at least episode 1, I mean, millions of views and on YouTube. And the conversation is like, how is this free? How is this on YouTube? We're confused. I was curious if you knew about it. And just what do you think about something like that taking place?
First off, you're getting me very excited to go watch it.
Yeah.
Because I just love that kind of stuff. I would ask you, you're the one that's 2 episodes in. Mm-hmm. What's been sticking out to you about it? What's been resonating with you?
I'd like to get through even more, as I'm already 4 hours deep, to give you a more like full answer. Mm-hmm. I think So my thoughts are, the Bible is a very profound book, right? It's also really old. Mm-hmm. And what I feel about reading that book is you got to want it. Mm-hmm. Like, you got to want to read that thing, okay? Yeah. I'll also give you a bit of history for me that's pretty interesting. So my parents went to Oklahoma Baptist University. I'm from Oklahoma. That's mm-hmm. Shawnee is where I'm from. That's the town that university is in. My father was a religious studies major. And for early days and for the first half or more of my lifetime, he was, I think he called himself non-theist, and then is agnostic now. Mm-hmm. Is atheist now and has been atheist for a long time. Anyway, he is a wonderful father to me. I have a wonderful relationship with my dad, and I always have. Shout out, Dad. I love you. That being said, the point of all of that is I remember growing up hearing he's an audible learner. He's very intellectual, and he enjoys consuming things audibly. Yeah. So I remember as a child growing up, he's listening to a variety of different things. Some of them would be religious studies in some form or fashion. And I just remember as a kid, obviously, you want to go play ball with your friends. Like, you got other things going on, you know? But I was just like, ugh. Just make it stop,
Yeah.
And so as I'm listening to this, I'm laughing at myself because here I am.
You're like, who am I?
Seriously. I'm like, what has happened? I'm 31 and I'm like looking on YouTube and I'm like, what am I going to do with my little bit of free time right now? Oh, I'm going to listen to these scholars explain the book of Exodus.
I love it. I love that so much.
But it's, so all I can really say right now is I'm simply hearing, you know, 8 different individuals, something like that, perspectives about this text that has very profound meaning,
good.
You know? And so I don't know that I really have much more to say other than I'm just consuming it at this time and gaining different perspectives from individuals who have spent a lot more energy trying to understand it than I have.
That's so good.
That's it.
There's a pastor named John Mark Comer.
Y'all refer to him up there sometimes.
Refer to him a lot. Mm-hmm. Author, he's just a phenomenal thinker. And he just put out a new book called Practicing the Way. It's all about practicing the way of Jesus. But the tagline on the back is the future is ancient. The future is ancient.
Oh,
and,
I like
that. And what he's getting at, my read on that, and I think I got that right. My read on that is as the world continues to become just more and more crazy and confusing and difficult to understand, mm-hmm. we are going to turn back to ancient wisdom mm-hmm. and ancient truth that has been there for thousands of years. Like the way of Jesus has been right in front of us for thousands of years, but it's been really easy to avoid and to ignore because now we have phones and now we have next video, scroll. Mm-hmm. I don't have time to Sabbath. I've got too many things I have to do. And what I see happening in my own life, and I've been praying for this and in so many people's lives, is a longing for something deeper and something real. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why some YouTube video about a bunch of scholars talking about Exodus is resonating with millions of people.
Right.
Because they're going, we need some substance mm-hmm. in a world that is so surface levelly. There has to be some deeper truth going on here. Mm-hmm. That is to a I feel weird making this comparison, but I'm going to do it. What I'm trying to do with Single Today mm-hmm. is with a topic like singleness that is so surface levelly most of the time, mm-hmm. like, how are you going to meet somebody? Mm-hmm. You know, like, here's the five steps.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Is like, what if we dug beneath the surface and got down to what's actually, why is it so hard for you to be alone right now? Mm-hmm. And what if you went on this journey and realize that you can actually get to the point where you're content where you're at today. And then, hey, maybe you'll meet somebody who's also been doing the same work and it'll be great, or maybe you won't. Either way, you're going to be okay. What I'm chasing is what is the truth like a few layers down in the human heart. And so I feel very silly comparing Single Today to what
we were talking about before.
Okay. Well, thank you. Mm-hmm. But that is what I see the world becoming hungry for. Mm-hmm. In a day where we just shout like opinions online and we argue about politics and we call it a day and everybody tries to be a little bit louder than the other person so they can get more followers or whatever. Mm-hmm. I just feel like there's this sweet invitation that is ancient, mm-hmm. that has always been there, mm-hmm. to, as Jesus says, come to me, all you who labor, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Mm-hmm. Let me handle the hard stuff. Let me take care of the sin problem for you. Now you can just be present with the people that are right in front of you. And I think that is starting to become more and more compelling to people, and that's why so many people are clicking on a YouTube video. Does that make sense?
Totally. I cannot gauge what of this is actually becoming more popular and what is me turning my gaze. Like, I truly can't tell, right? So there are numbers on the internet, and it's very hard to contextualize those. In fact, we talked about how you're sharing the message on the internet and how it's a very weird, you're so used to in the room, the real human connection and kind of the like struggle of that.
So weird.
Which I just want to take this like a totally different direction now and be like, I want you to rate my studio right now. Like, tell them the truth. Tell them about the Yeti. Tell them about the foam roller. Like, there's a couple toolboxes back there. You see this. But what's on the other awesome. Side?
I love it so much.
It's like it's a little so Sony good. Camera. It's funny.
It's
anyway,
so good.
Okay. So I just can't tell. Like, I can't tell what of it is actually gaining popularity, which I suppose millions means yes, right?
Yeah. It's a little bit of both, but it's certainly gaining popularity for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then from there, so this is, I mentioned her right when you came in too about my grandmother and the whole happy and Jesus thing, right?
Yeah.
And I don't want to quote her incorrectly either, but my understanding is because, of course, she just so happened to, like, if you've been around me for any length of time, you already know this. So if you've been hanging out listening to this podcast, you're not new to this. But, like, I've said and will continue to say that, like, the mission for me is, like, the light that she carried, like, it's just to share that. And if I do a fraction, like, I did the job. You know, like, that's the goal, is, like, who she walked this earth as was not, like, not a human to me. And she was the most involved person in my childhood. And I always saw her show kindness to everyone and generosity and love. And I was behind closed doors with that woman. And I never saw, I mean, it was it like exposure to her showed me that that's an option. Like I literally don't, that caliber of a human existed close proximity in my life for so many years. So like, okay, that can be, like, I might as well strive for that. That's cool, right? But with the Happy in Jesus thing, which was her tagline, it's on her tombstone. It was in front of her home every Christmas. And
yeah.
So, of course, she would get asked quite a bit about, like, why that, what, you know?
Yeah.
And my understanding is it kind of just came down to, and this is what I love that's so interesting. I've got a mentor who says a funny, quirky thing to me about this. It's, she said, well, my life is better because I choose this. You know, and so that's enough. And she certainly, you know, she was a Christian and so on. But for me, turning my gaze is stems from this, what feels selfish to have a better quality of life, right? Like I was willing to do it because like I didn't like what was going on. And yeah. So, okay, fine, I guess I'll try to do this God thing. Yeah. I don't know. And then it gives me access to a better quality of life. So even if it's an interesting thing to play on. And I don't know that I have any sort of other than just in the thick of thought about it.
Yeah.
Of just, okay. Cause that mentor of mine says, sweetie, we don't have an altruistic bone in our body. We're selfish, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I love
her.
And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, so even when I'm doing good, I'm trying to be selfish. Dang it.
Yeah. Can I share something that's on my heart? I've been saying this, I've been going to a lot of groups who are reading Single Today, and oftentimes three or four times now, it's led me to share this thought, and I don't know if this will resonate with anybody, but when I was a freshman in college, I read constantly, and it was because I had read an article that quantitative psychologists made a lot of money, and there weren't a whole lot of them. And I wanted to make a lot of money. And so I was reading to get good grades to get into grad school so that I could become a quantitative psychologist and make a lot of money. So I was reading every day, but reading was a means to an end. I was reading to make money.
Yep.
Along the way, a lot changed in my life. But reading has remained to be something that I absolutely love to do. And what's funny about it now is I try to read every night. Most of it's like fiction, you know, like not going to help me in my career or whatever at all. I love to read, and it's no longer to make a lot of money. It's now not a means to an end. I just love it for what it is. Like I love the art form. I love the craft. And I think following Jesus and Christianity for all of us begins as a means to an end. That we do it because it helps us make sense of a really hard circumstance that we might be in. Maybe it helps us get sober. Maybe it helps us find community and feel less lonely. Maybe it helps us, it brings us peace when we're feeling very anxious. Like the classic, like, I didn't study for this exam. I'm going to pray that God will bail me out of it. You know, like starts there, but then it goes a lot deeper than that. But for all of us at some level, religion and following Jesus is a means to an end, but the beauty of it is, I just believe this, not that I am there yet or that I live this out fully. I just believe it can become an end in and of itself, where you get to a point with God where you are so in love and so thankful and grateful for the life that you have that you don't, it's not I'm praying or I'm reading my Bible or I'm going to church or I'm doing these things so that I can get this, is just because you're in love. And I never got to meet your grandma. I have a suspicion that that's the point that she was at. And so she goes happy in Jesus because it's not a means to an end for me. It's just an end.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. And given her behavior, that really checks out. So then that takes me to, okay, so I am curious, right? But I don't know what action. So I had the wonderful fortune of being given some specific action. But of course, you hear this all the time, you know, like, okay, so where do I start? Because if you start by reading the Bible, that might be hard, especially if you do it by yourself. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I have avoided it.
Yeah,
I'm actually doing it right now, but I have avoided it.
Let's go. Yeah, it's hard.
Heck yeah, it is. And it's, yeah, it's weird. Anyway, I'm doing like the one that's like Bible in a year. A friend of mine actually that's a member. I didn't even tell you this. Oh, okay. So I wanted to make a joke because,
That's the best way to set up a joke. I would like to make a joke real quick. Here we go.
I'm going to go down a rabbit hole. I don't even know if you can see them with the white background. Shoot. Maybe I need to, hold on.
Yeah, go with those. Okay. I'll take these.
All right, how do they look, guys? Those are heavy. They're heavy. They're real heavy. They are. These are a little bit more light. Maybe I'll get a couple pairs of these.
There we go.
Anyway, I don't know.
I'm ready for your joke.
Okay. All right. Well, oh gosh, now it's not even going to be that funny. I was going to make a joke about farming your congregation for the podcast.
Yeah.
Because, okay, you have yours on. Now I need to keep that on. Okay. So, there we go. So I was just looking at the past handful of guests that I've had for the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like Jen, met her at the gym, but she goes to Red Rocks.
Yes.
You, met you there. Jamie, who's coming on next Tuesday. I think we met at Red Rocks. We definitely had other mutual connections mm-hmm. and found ourselves there very quickly. Mm-hmm. This one's cool. Rachel, her episode came out this week. Mm-hmm. She saw me at Red Rocks over a year ago and mm-hmm. told her boyfriend, I want to be her friend.
Mm.
And I had no idea about that till we were on air. And then she,
no way.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And so I invited her for different reasons. I think she's wonderful, but I totally didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So she goes Red Rocks.
I love it.
Another one that's a client of mine, Maddie, I introduced her and she goes. So it was just, I was just looking through and there are other people that are on my roster of guests don't.
Yeah.
But I was like, wow, I feel like I'm farming your congregation here for good guests, but also you just have good people that show up in that place.
It's not mine, it's ours, right? Let's take these off. Okay, no more. I think that's awesome.
Yes.
And
yes, you make a great point. It's not your, it's ours. You're right.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. It's a community of imperfect people trying to pursue a perfect God together. Mm-hmm. So that makes me very happy.
Yeah.
And then if we look
at like the topics, they're so very diverse, which is also just cool because it's a very diverse group of individuals. Okay. So I do want to go back to the singleness thing. And then I kind of maybe want to touch on with the time we have, like the whole online connection struggle thing. I want to go there, but the singleness.
Yeah.
In this moment, as you've spent your lifetime, certainly your adult life, grappling with, is this an inherent feeling? Is something wrong? Is this a feeling that I feel like has been placed upon me by others?
Yeah.
Do I agree with this? Wherever you're at in that grapple, do you feel like singleness is something that you have attached your identity to in a way that like, how do you feel about that? Do you even have feelings about it, about like where you want to go with it or anything like that?
Great, great question. And these are the questions that come up with this topic,
mm-hmm.
Because it is such a important conversation. That changes your life drastically, being single versus most of my friends who are married, have kids and all of that.
Yeah.
And so it's forced me to like really look in the mirror and really ask the difficult questions. For example, am I just single because I'm super independent? Am I single because I'm scared of commitment because I'm scared or I don't believe that I'm actually loved? Or lovable, like all of those questions, right? And the more that I've done that work for me, the more I keep coming back to, no.
Yeah.
I'm just single because I really love life.
Yeah.
And I don't have a love life.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
I just really love life and I don't have a love life. I kind of love that.
And that's okay, right?
Yeah. I think I said before we hopped on air, but I think it's so funny, and this is all just my perspective, but like when you get up on stage and occasionally just like drop some information about, cause like the single pastor joke, it's a good one. We should make it right.
Yeah.
And then you're like, I feel like occasionally you have to be like, please stop trying to change this about me, you know, like politely don't introduce me to your cousin. You know, is what I see.
This is not reverse psychology. I promise.
Yeah. And then I just feel for you because I'm like, dude, this is an endeavor because it is so innate within us or something to desire that.
Yeah.
So then we have to, like, we operate from the assumption that, like, surely if me and everyone else does, like, really wants this, then, like, surely you want it too.
And to make it even more complicated, I'm a huge proponent of marriage.
Yeah.
right? It's the second page of the Bible. It's not good for us to be alone. Man should leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife. The two shall become one. I officiate weddings all of the time.
Right.
I'm constantly pushing people towards that. I think it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
It's just not for me. Mm-hmm. And as soon as I say that, people's immediate question is like, so forever? And my response to that, and this is where a lot of the book stemmed from, is how could I possibly know the answer to that question, right?
Right.
Like sometimes we approach God like it's like we start following God on Monday, and then on Tuesday, there's like a portfolio on our desk of like, so here's your next 60 years, mm-hmm. Claire. Like mm-hmm. here's how many episodes of Conversations with Claire you're going to do. Here's mm-hmm. all of your guests, mm-hmm. and here's where you're going to live. And right. And it's like, that's just not. Meanwhile, Jesus says things like, don't worry about tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't know. Mm-hmm. And so to get to a point where I can go, I want to be single the rest of my life. And that is fully 100% true today. Mm-hmm. And then go into the day with complete open hands, knowing that if that changes tomorrow, that doesn't make me inauthentic today. I think that's where all the freedom is at. And people don't quite know what to do with that. And that's where I just hand them single today mm-hmm. and emphasis on the word today. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense. I think that you articulated that very well.
Thank you.
Seriously. And, it's been interesting in the past few years to try to lean more into this whole Claire's not running the show because she makes big messes. And I still mess that up a lot and all those delusions that I'm like, whoa, wait, what was that? You know, relationally, because mm-hmm. relationship with others is a huge part of our lives, whether it's romantic or whatever, mm-hmm. familial, colleagues, you name it. We're going to have to deal with other humans, and it's going to be one of the most profoundly impactful experiences of our lifetime. So like, we might as well try to learn a thing or two about how to do it well, right?
Totally.
But it's been so cool so far. We're just here today. There's stuff I don't know about going on, right? To just pray in the morning, which was that very first step that I was taught about any of it, to say for me today, like, hey, can your will be done instead of my own? Like just this constant, like, hey, instead of me trying to get a hold of this thing and maneuver it the way that I think that it needs to go, because I'm so smart and I know what's best and I'm going to fix the situation because I'm a fixer. It's literally what I do as my job. You know, like as a coach, like, here, let me fix your movement. Let me fix your nutrition. Watch these tools.
That's funny.
Oh my gosh. Oh, it's,
and then
I'm
it comes
so
to
grateful
faith
for the friendships that I have. And now my romantic partner that like, he's a good one because he's so smart. Mm-hmm. That like that has enabled me better to go. You don't need me to fix that. You're good. Like I actually probably trust your judgment on that more than I trust my own.
Yeah.
So like, it's sad to me that I need to trust his judgment on a thing so much to not try to give him my tools.
Yeah.
But like, it's a good experience. And then I've got another good friend. She actually brought me into recovery. She's been a beautiful friend of mine for a long time. And she's been so, I look back at our history and I'm like, girl, you is one patient friend. Because she tells me things, honestly. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, tools. And she's like, the longer we go through this thing, the more I'm like, she never asked for my tools. Why am I trying to give her my dang tools? She doesn't even need them. You know, like, why do I think my tools are cool? You know, it's just so funny.
That's
anyway,
so very, by the way, coaches and pastors are probably wired very similar.
Oh my gosh.
So I'm with you in all of it.
And we're trying to be helpful, but we just get in the way.
Most of the time. Yes.
And so the whole prayer thing of like, hey God, could you, maybe just run the show and like remind me throughout the day when I think it's a good idea. And that's what's been cool is as we watch this journey progress, and now we're 3 years into it for me personally, I make the references to the plants about like it's, you know, faith is like a little baby and then it grows and it grows. And now I catch myself praying more frequently or whenever something comes up, understanding that like get space from it, pray, maybe pray with the other individual that it's a part of, like it's becoming a bigger part of my life, a more organic part of my life. It's just like anything else that we, you know, like any sort of habits that we're going to, you know, like we have to get some reps under our belt. With reps comes ease. So with faith, with reps comes ease, right?
Ooh, yeah.
And anyway, it's exciting to me because it, as it grows, more peace does take place.
Yeah.
And I think that that's something we all desire feeling.
That's so well said. The imagery that I've always found super helpful in scripture is fruit. Mm-hmm. Paul calls it the fruit of walking step with the Spirit. Mm-hmm. It's love and it's joy and it's the peace, like you just mentioned, the patience and the kindness and the goodness and the self-control. Mm-hmm. That all of that, just like in the fitness world, you can't like, yeah, you can order some new equipment or some new protein or whatever, but at the end of the day, you have to put in the work, mm-hmm. and you have to be very patient as it takes time to happen. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing with faith. But the beauty is the more that you do it naturally, like you wake up and you're not even trying to be really loving or really patient. It's just happening. Mm-hmm. It's just like an orange tree. When the season is right,
yeah,
will bear oranges.
Yeah.
Right. Is bear the right word? Produce.
I think bear fruit.
Bear fruit.
But yeah. Also, yeah, right. That just makes me think of your brother's like, the, when so he made good. Those like sound effects, I was like, genius.
He's so brilliant.
That was smart.
He's so brilliant. Those are the things where I'm like, I sit there and I'm like, if I tried to do that, it would be such a train wreck.
Yeah, did you hear mine just now? That did not sound even remotely the same. All of his impressions. Can you try it? Do the, oh gosh, see, we didn't do it.
That's
we
not it.
Okay, so we do need to, based on your timeline, we got to wrap this thing. I want to talk about the online struggle and just any sort of like, because, okay, I'm going to tell a quick perspective and ask. So I get the opportunity to work with a number of different individuals who maybe are CEOs or founders of companies and things like that, which is such a gift. They're high-performing individuals. It's so cool. And they get, the more they get into that role, the more disconnected from the community that they were once trying to be of service to, they become. They're more behind the screen. They're less forward-facing. Things like that are often occurrences for them. Mm-hmm. And so trying to find their way back to, how do I actually get this reciprocal relationship?
Yeah.
And that's something I see a lot with coaching, too. The more successful a coach becomes, the more they may be able to go online, and maybe they go entirely online and to each their own. And if you love it, heck,
great.
Yeah.
Great.
But for me, I enjoy this hybridized version, because I want to be able to do the remote and the afar thing if that's something that's of interest to someone, but I want to put my hands on humans too. Like I want that back. And so maybe that's selfish. Maybe, so what do you think about the whole communicate your message online?
Yeah, no, I don't think that's selfish at all. I think that's what we're created for. Mm-hmm. Is like, okay, don't take what I'm about to say the wrong way. I think scaling something is a really cool way to not bury the talents that God gave us, but rather like multiply the things that we're doing. And so I'm all for that. Like in the church world, we look for ways to do that as well. But at the end of the day, I just like to bring it back to Jesus. Jesus was always doing this. He was always sitting down with people, and he was always connecting with people. And so I'm again, like, if the Apostle Paul was alive in the 21st century, he would be online. It's the new town square, right? He would absolutely be like spreading the gospel that way. Mm-hmm. He would also be sitting down with people, and he would also be not isolating. That human connection will always be it at some level. And so it's not an either or for me. It's not a problem to solve. It's a tension to manage. I'm in a season where I'm back to like trying to be a voice online, and doing that strategically and on purpose. Mm-hmm. And that's great. There'll be different seasons of that in my life, but I never stop connecting with people, real human beings, like in the same room, sitting down, having real conversations, vulnerable conversations, making sure like the camera's not always on.
I was going to say, with not having, you know, like it's such a beautiful container to share a message like this,
right?
But there's something incredibly powerful as well about the turn it all off.
It will always
let me tell you the truth.
Yes. As wherever, whatever happens in the future, like that's part of the future is ancient. Mm-hmm. John Mark's bit.
Right. That's it. Shut the grid down. Just kidding.
Yeah. Right. No, as like things become more and more digital and screen oriented, I'm convinced there will be a greater need for real human interaction and connection. Mm-hmm. And so, I love that you take that personal approach. Mm-hmm. And it's a hybrid, which I think it has to be these days. Yep. But anyone who's listening who is in a similar field, I would say find a way to, yes, go scale your business, do your thing, cheering you on. I mean that. Also find a way to keep the human connection. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So let's wrap with one. There's one thing we do at the very end. But before that, tangibles. You believe very strongly that cultivating a relationship with God is the most fruitful thing any individual could do, right?
Yeah, I do. Okay. Yeah, yeah. And love having conversations with people who disagree and hearing other worldviews and all that. But for me, that's what I've found to be the most fruitful and most important thing.
If you were to give one recommendation to an individual who just doesn't know where to turn right this moment, what would your, in your opinion, be?
That's a great question. To me, reading the Gospel of John is like, if you're willing to give a few weeks and a little bit of energy to this, finding, it's online, you can find Bibles anywhere, but going to John's Gospel, which is in the New Testament, begins with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's four mm-hmm. accounts of Jesus' story mm-hmm. from four different perspectives, and John was just this really unique perspective because he got to spend 3 years with Jesus, and then he had about 60 years to meditate and think about all the things that Jesus said and did before he, as an old man, sat down to finally write. Mm-hmm. And so, like, he was working on it for six decades. Mm-hmm. And so when you read John's Gospel, it's this, like, really beautiful, it's poetic, it's thought-provoking, and he explains Jesus in such a beautiful way. And so I would say, do your best to sit down and read the 21 chapters in John's Gospel.
Okay. And then there, I will say, I know y'all advertise resources regularly for, like, how, where do I get started, whatever. Is that part of that?
Yeah. And if
so, I can put it in the description is kind of the point. Yep. Is I'll throw something down right there that you recommend.
Yeah. Yeah. So redrocksaustin.com is our website. And we have a place, we have a 21 day mm-hmm. like start thing, created a 21 day devotional. It has some videos in it. Maybe we'll link to that yep. in the show notes, yep. but taking the next 21 days, it'll take you through how to pray, what the Bible is and how to read it, mm-hmm. why community is so important and what this is all about. And just did our best to give you a good starting 21 day mm-hmm. jumping off point, mm-hmm. That will launch you into more from there.
Yeah. Thank you. Okay. I will put that in the description because I think so much of, if it's of interest, then it's like, the thing is, then where do I begin? You know?
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
you guys cover that really well. Okay. So the last thing, is there anything else you want to mention or you feel like, you know?
What else do I want to mention? That's a great question. Yeah. I want to double down on the loneliness bit from earlier. For whoever is listening to this, who needs to hear this, loneliness is real. Isolation is real. There are things from the past that hurt us, and it makes it really hard for us to be present today when we have all this stuff going on. And I just want to say, God loves you exactly where you're at. Mm-hmm. And that statement may even like trigger some like emotions in you, and that's all okay and that's all acceptable. Just know this, God is ready to hear your thoughts on that statement that I just made. So I used to think like, well, if you're angry, you better not pray because, you know, that's like disrespectful. I would say to the person listening who's like, who's been kind of like stiff arming the whole like spirituality thing for too long, maybe it's time to just let God in on your anger. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's time to let God in on your pain mm-hmm. and on your struggles, and saying things like, God, where were you in that moment? Mm. And God, I don't like that happened. And God, would you show me who you are and show me where you are? I think God loves those prayers mm-hmm. and God is plenty big enough to handle all of our words that we may have. And so I think I would just want to start there as a, let me be the one to remind you that you are never alone. Mm-hmm. God is always with you.
Mm. I think you're cool. All right. Three things you're grateful for today.
Yeah. Getting to utilize technology
yeah.
to talk about the book.
Yeah.
I've gotten to do a few of these today, and it's so weird at some level
yeah.
and yet it's so awesome.
Yeah.
And as much as we complain about, you know, it or whatever, like we get to get our message out to the world. And so I'm very, very grateful mm-hmm. for that. I am incredibly grateful that although I'm single, I'm not alone.
Mm-hmm.
And I am spoiled with community. And that's something that I've had to fight for and fight hard for, but I'm just surrounded by the best people.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm thankful for that. And then I want to say I'm really, really grateful and thankful for Red Rocks and for the church that we all get to build together in a community of imperfect people pursuing a perfect God together. Mm-hmm. And thank you for being a part of that and being such a great voice in it.
And it's cool. It's been a cool experience for me because I've come in saying, I'll hear what you have to say. I don't know that I'll agree with everything.
Yeah.
And it's, I have felt very okay to do that there this Good. Whole time Good. And be that imperfect human and all of those things, because I very much so am. And I'm just listening and I'm not always sure how I feel about what's being said. And I feel like I walk away and it's an absolute net positive and I don't have to understand and agree with everything to feel, and I don't know that I do or don't, you know, but, and it's a neat thing is that feels like a very safe place to do exactly that. So yeah,
that's awesome.
I share my three gratitudes. So
please.
My three gratitudes today are: one, I am grateful to have access to dental care. I had a piece of my freaking tooth come out the other day. I'm not kidding. Yeah. So I've got like a nice little thing I'm working on next week.
Yeah.
But there. At least, so as much as I have like fear around that, I don't enjoy going to the dentist. Like, I'm really not happy about this. It's a financial expense, like all these things. I have abundant gratitude that I have access to care where I can get it taken care of.
Nice.
Yes. Because you're here, it makes me think I'm grateful for my grandmother. Mm-hmm. She's the person who introduced me to this thing. And so to be able to be here now is a really cool thing. And last but not least, I'm also grateful for community, not only at Red Rocks, but on at gym where I work. I was just there right before this. And like, mm-hmm. I go in and that place is just a vibe. Yeah. And those humans are just getting after it. And yeah. like, you cannot be uninspired in those walls. Yeah. And so I'm grateful for that. Yeah. So
good.
That is it. Okay. So you guys go by this. That's a wrap. I will put in the show notes both where you can do the whole 21-day thing, where you can get this book, and where you can find Ryan and communicate with him if you would like to. Also, I have a coaching business. And if you want to work with me remotely or in person here in Austin, Texas, or online, I do one-to-one. I do group. It'll all be in the description. You can check it out there. And we just hope that you choose to have a beautiful day.